This week on It's So Bad, we're adding a game that put the developer Platinum Games on the map as we add Bayonetta to the endless list here on our podcast. Welcome, Matt, to It's So Bad. You are back.
I am back, yep.
For another week. You were on last week. You'll be on again, I'm sure, in another week.
For a game I hadn't played before.
Yeah.
Prior to this. Had you?
Bayonetta?
Bayonetta.
I played Bayonetta 2. I never played Bayonetta 1.
This is the only one I played. So I've only had people telling me about Bayonetta and 2 and, you know, if they're good or not. And
yes.
Now I got to experience it for myself.
Excellent. And you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, etc. We are adding this game to our endless list of games, which is our list of currently 60 games. It goes all the way from Super Mario 64 to Jurassic Park Trespasser. Every week we add, or most weeks, we add a new game to our list. It could be a good game. It could be a bad game. It could be anything in between. What we're doing is creating an endless list, an ever-expanding list of the best games, the most influential, the most of their day, the best of everything. We judge them by a multitude of criteria. So if you think about graphics or how their gameplay holds up, how their gameplay was for their time period, how important they were to overall canon of video games, we judge everything as we talk about these games. And this week we're adding Bayonetta, which came out originally in October of 2009, developed by Platinum Games, published by Sega, directed by Hideki Kamiya, and produced by Yosuke Hashimoto. And this game, what is this game, Matt?
Well, while you were talking, I wasn't listening. I was looking up if Platinum Games, what they did make before it. And so they made
three games.
They made Mad World, yeah, which the box art looks familiar. That's a Wii game. And I think that was supposed to be decent.
It's a gory black and white game.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. They made Vanquish, Infinite Space, Mad World.
Right. Infinite Space is a DS game, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Bayonetta. Yeah, they're right. They're part of a Bayonetta, and those games were part of a initial publishing deal that Platinum Games had with Sega to get them really off the ground. They promised to make four games. Oh. Because before that, Kamiya and Shinji Mikami, who is the creator of Resident Evil and Onimusha and a bunch of games that are on our list, also Dino Crisis, Shinji Mikami and Kamiya founded Platinum Games.
Oh, cool.
Kamiya also worked on Resident Evil. He was the director of RE2, and he was the director of Devil May Cry.
Hmm.
So, and he was also the director of Beautiful Joe.
Ah.
So, and Okami as well. So those are the games that Mikami, Kamiya were the two founders, as well as Atsushi Inaba. He worked on Samurai Showdown, RE, Code Veronica, and Phoenix Wright. So all these guys came from Capcom and spun out their own studio. In order to get the financing they needed, they made a publishing deal with Sega, which was, this game was part of that publishing deal.
So Devil May Cry is kind of like the root of all this, like,
yep,
mechanically.
Yep.
Okay. So Bayonetta, yeah. It's what do you call it, a character action game? Is that the genre?
Yeah. Is it like, I guess.
Spectacle Fighter? Is that the same thing?
No, that Spectacle Fighter, isn't that like Smash Brothers?
That's a platform fighter.
We sound like we don't know what we're talking about.
Well,
this is like a, isn't it kind of like a, like a,
it's a hack and slash? Right. Yeah. All right, so it's a hack and slash starring a strong and beautiful sexy witch lady.
Yes.
Where
Kamiya's definitely, he said in a quote, is this, she was created to be his perfect woman.
Oh. He's librarian type.
Yes.
Is what he's into.
Yes, I guess.
Yeah, so she spends the whole game pretty much beating up angels.
Yep.
And the game likes to, every 30 seconds, give you a letter grade, like in school.
Yeah, like Devil. I guess that's Devil May Cry thing.
Yeah, I think it started in
Beautiful Joe, because that's where I think he based the system off of, the system of grading off of Beautiful Joe in particular.
Right. I'm struggling to remember if any games I played before then had grading, but let's just assume yes, that's the history.
Yeah, and I mean, this comes out of the lineage. I would say it's like the evolution of what the beat-em-up genre was in this, in like the SNES and Genesis era a little bit. And then it, you know, in 2000...
Like made 3D rather than like the 2D side-scrolling.
So in like 2000, when PS2 first came out, when they were trying to... you had the ability to have more characters on screen. You had stuff like Dynasty Warriors 2 came out, which was kind of like getting towards this. And then in 2001, you had Devil May Cry, which is like... what this game is, except I think Devil May Cry is a static camera, so the camera changes. It's kind of like God of War,
right?
Where it does not like 3D behind you camera. 2001, you had Devil May Cry. You had 2003, Devil May Cry 2. In 2004, you had the Ninja Gaiden reboot on the Xbox.
I played a lot of that.
Which is kind of in this vein. 2005, you had God of War came out, as well as Devil May Cry 3. 2007, you had God of War 2 and Ninja Gaiden Sigma, which was the port on PS3. And then 2008, right before this game came out in 2009, you had Devil May Cry 4, which is what Kamiya used a lot when he was designing this game. He didn't work on Devil May Cry 4, but he played through it, and he kind of copied a few of the mechanics. From what I read, and also No More Heroes came out that year, which is kind of in the similar vein. Hmm.
So, yeah, Bayonetta. Why don't you go first? How did you feel about this game?
I like it a lot. I think the way it differentiates itself from a lot of hack and slash games, especially the ones that we played, like Zone of the Enders, is that, and other ones that I've played, is that you have what is called witch time, which is if you dodge at exactly the right moment, or it's a pretty good window. It's not like...
It's a very generous
window. Yeah, it's a very generous window where if you dodge, you...
And you do like a somersault.
Yeah. Right? And you slow down time, and then you can just open up on bad guys.
Right.
And I guess there's also the torture attacks, so you build up a meter, and then you can execute...
They're like quick time events, basically.
Special attacks on things, and they are ridiculous. So there's
Visually ridiculous. Yeah,
there's like a vice where you can smash guys.
Iron Maiden.
Yeah, there's an Iron Maiden. There's a chainsaw. There's also on one of the very sexy looking angels, there is a wooden horse that comes out that kind of looks like popular in the late 90s, early 2000s, those mechanical like horse saddle things that porn stars would ride with a dildo on it.
Yeah.
Do you remember those?
Do I remember those? I never interacted with one, but I know what you're talking about.
They sell them on Amazon. I had to Google what it was. It's called a Sibian machine.
Oh.
And they sell them on Amazon if you ever want a...
And so Bayonetta kills an angel using one?
Yeah, it's like, it's called a wooden horse. Well, she sits on the wooden horse and it like grinds her.
Well, that's like a, I think that's like a medieval torture device. You get weighed down on the horse.
All of these things are medieval torture devices.
And then it,
devices.
Pulls you in half, I think.
Yes.
Doesn't sound as fun as what you're talking about.
No. There's the vice. There's the guillotine. There's a whole bunch of different torture attacks. I think what separates this game from 2 is 2 got a lot more... there's a lot more design to the enemies. There's a lot different enemies. This had, like... No, I wouldn't say limited, but it had us like a...
I thought it was pretty limited.
Yeah, so it wasn't like... There's a lot more different enemies in the second one. Also, the environments are a lot better in the second one.
Yeah.
And torture attacks are there's a lot more. Climax moves, torture attacks, etc.
Yeah, I can't help... I mean, knowing that the second Bayonetta is, you know, well-rated and everyone loves it, I can't help but going into Bayonetta 1 with a little too high expectations, because I was let down. I didn't think this game was as good as other people made it out to be.
What didn't you like about it in particular?
Well, you kind of touched on that, you know, I think the enemies were pretty bland, or the individual enemy was pretty crazy. When you like really looked at the model, they were these weird,
right,
like biblical, like, ancient sort of
angels,
angel creatures.
Yeah.
But there was not a lot of variety.
I did like how, with like the big bosses, when you first see them, they're like this sculpted face, and they look all beautiful. And then as you beat them up, you see underneath, and it's like distorted and alien and gross, right, and weird,
like beastly.
Yeah.
The environments also that. There were, I'm trying to think, so there were certain times, like in the very beginning, you're falling on that clock, right?
Right.
Or like, you know, that you're falling on this big piece of rock that fell off a cliff.
Yep.
And that was cool.
You right.
know, to be in a, like a dynamic looking kind of
There's a arena. Lot of that in the second one. In the first one, there's not a lot of that.
Right. But then, yeah, later, shortly after that, you're just kind of like walking through these like cathedral
right.
or like old French looking cities. And
yeah.
I don't know. I didn't think that they were very interesting, and they didn't live up to the like bombast that I thought Bayonetta.
Until you get to like the highway and the city at the very end, and right. then you get a lot more bombast when you're flying. There's a fucking Space Harrier level in this game. It was right. fucking crazy. I was like, Jesus Christ! And they did that on purpose because they were publishing for Sega and they wanted to do like a subtle
oh,
mod.
Yeah.
So they had a Space Harrier level with yeah. Space Harrier music.
Oh, I didn't pick up on the yeah. music being the same.
When they were on the missiles?
I didn't play a lot. Yeah, I mean, I appreciated that I appreciated those sort of, like, perspective changes and, like, almost genre changes. They reminded me of Nier mm-hmm. Automata.
Yeah. I mean, that's right, yeah, a lot of DNA from Nier.
Right, exactly. But I thought I either wanted more of it or when it did happen. Like, for instance, there's a section where you're on a motorcycle. And it just goes on for way too long. Like
yeah.
you're just riding down this highway on a motorcycle, and like it doesn't. It feels like a gimmick that outstays its welcome.
It felt like I'm playing through Final Fantasy VII, and it felt like that motorcycle level, but like a little bit better.
Right.
It was
and that's
not
an RPG, and this yeah. is supposed to be an action game.
Right. And it didn't. It was not that great. That was one of the weaker parts.
Right. And so you know those were weak. The environments are weak. I think the combat is...
It's funny you mentioned the environments are weak because they do the exact same thing in 2 where you start off in like a city and mm-hmm. then you go to like some desolate town where you're like in the limbo type thing where there's people there but they're not really there.
Right.
And everything's like gray. They do the same thing.
And it's good or is it pretty much the same?
But the problem, the difference with Bayonetta 2 is that there's a lot more times where you're like floating on that clock.
Right.
That's
what I want.
Yeah, there's a the first level. There is a fight where you're on top of a fighter jet fighting angels and
right.
it's flying yeah. through a city, and that's pretty cool.
That sounds cool.
Yeah,
I want that.
Right.
Sounds like I need to play Bayonetta 2.
Yeah, Bayonetta 2 is probably better. I think they have a lot more fun with the character in 2 too. Because the thing about the arc with this game when it first came out is a lot of people were like, "Oh, she's a sexy lady."
Right.
But then I think over the course of time, she's kind of been co-opted by women to be like,
"Yeah, she's like a strong, cool
feminist
character."
Yeah. Because I think he, you know, at start they did not have those intentions when they were making
right.
this
they
character.
Wanted to make her sexy.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I have no issue with the character. I think the character's cool. In fact, I think the both Bayonetta and the surrounding characters, like the bartender devil guy
yeah,
that you go to upgrade your weapons.
Rodan.
Like, he didn't get used enough. Like, he's used purely as a trainer, basically, to upgrade
yeah,
your
same,
skills and stuff.
Same thing in the second one, too.
And it's like, they have all of these cool characters, and I feel like, and they can do neat things with them, you know, and the heaven and hell stuff, and I just think it wasn't fully realized in this game. I don't know if it was, and you know, maybe it's a budget thing or whatever, but ultimately I don't think they delivered.
The Joe Pesci character is used a little bit more in the second one.
That's good.
He's
too,
just
because,
straight up Joe Pesci.
Right. And that I wanted more of that too. Like I wanted more of everything that they didn't do in this game.
Yeah.
That they only like teased a little bit.
Yeah,
of.
That first scene when you're in the graveyard is
yeah.
story wise is great. When
yeah.
he's like he's pissing on Hideki Kamiya's the director of the game's Gravestone. And
yep.
you're like, oh, this is, and then they like destroy his car and she's
yeah, and it's
like
campy
yeah.
and funny.
Yeah.
And
they kind of get away from that.
Right.
I think they get more towards it at the end of the game when you're flying out on the missiles and you're like, there's buildings flying apart and you're
definitely.
Like going to outer space. That gets more into it, but there's a solid
10 hours
yeah.
in the middle where none of that
right.
happens.
Yeah, you're right.
And to me, that was disappointing.
Right.
Because yeah, they start off so strong. And then I basically have no idea what's going on in the middle chunk. Like, can you explain? So they She's dead and...
She's not dead.
So Joe Pesci and Rodan...
Yes.
They, like, summon her or something? Do you remember?
So she's not dead. No, she's just hiding. She's trying to make the angels come out.
Oh, right. They're drawing the angels out so that she can kill the angels.
Yeah, because she hunts. So the whole deal is that she's a witch. Witches are like instruments of the devil or the demons. And they're always in conflict with angels who are not, as we see angels, they're kind of the...
Old Testament kind of angel?
They're like aliens, kind of. They're right. It's very, very Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Okay.
I've talked about this with you before, but the end credits for Neon Genesis Evangelion are Fly Me to the Moon.
Right.
And this is just straight, and the bad guys, spoilers, go ahead for a minute if you don't want to hear anything more about Neon Genesis Evangelion. But the bad guys in Neon Genesis Evangelion are angels, and they're known as angels. At the very start of the show, they always call them the angels, but then it becomes very, very biblical as you get into that show. Mm. And there's like a guy nailed to a cross with the Spear of Destiny in him that they have hiding in their headquarters, and they're like bad aliens who come down and try to want to create Judgment Day on Earth. So it's super, super like... religious tones and neon
allegorical
images. Yeah,
but Bayonetta is like the dark witch, right? Isn't there a dark and a light witch?
No, they're both witches. They're
but I thought there was like a yin and yang sort of
John is like she's your
counterpart.
Yeah,
right?
She's being like hired by the angel guy who's actually your father,
right?
To
and that's the giant last boss guy,
right? Right, yeah. Right. The guy who, when he's first introduced, has a dead peacock that he's wearing, which
yes.
is pretty funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the whole thing is that you find out in the end of the game is that she's not just a witch. She's also an angel. She's half-half because
mm-hmm.
he's an angel, right. That guy. And so that she has more powers in like the second game.
Yeah, that didn't pay off for me. I didn't care at that point.
I think, too, how they differentiated as well is that you go to hell. Into
I was waiting to go to hell
so
in
you,
this game.
Yeah, you never you go to Paradiso,
right?
Which is heaven.
And
this is all this stuff is Dante's Divina Inferno. Commedia,
right?
Divine.
Because you're in purgatory for a while.
Purgatorio, Inferno, Inferno's hell, and then Paradiso's heaven.
But I don't. Ultimately, my entire feelings on this game is that it just didn't deliver for me. Even the combat, like you mentioned, the witch time. There's a very generous dodge, which I don't have a problem with, that you use to get into witch time. But it seemed like they, you know, every time you die or you're in this loading screen, they show you this huge list of combos.
You never have to do any.
And you never have to do any of them. And really, you only have to find one or two combos.
Right.
And I get that kind of is a thing in other
right.
Platinum games and stuff like that. But I was thinking...
Like, I use the stomp a lot.
And then there's also, like, you can change weapons.
Yeah.
Which change your combos, kind of.
A little bit.
And then you've got the guns on your... boots that yep. you can always use by holding down, I think, Y
right.
or X. And there's all these tools there, but they never felt necessary. And I get that you can kind of, you know, if you play on hard, you can probably, you know, make better use of them. But
yeah, I think the
it
big
didn't
thing,
feel intuitive.
The big thing that they were aiming for in this and what the director said is that if you play through it once, it's like, okay, you played through it. But the real challenge is to get a higher...
Get good grade. S's and
yeah.
stuff like that.
Yeah, so...
And I just didn't feel any compulsion to
right.
do that.
No, and I found it to be little bit hard. I think some of the bad guys were kind of cheapy.
Yeah.
Like the two guys with the claws. Those guys suck.
Yeah. Those guys and they always came in pairs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what it would devolve down or devolve to is I was just mashing dodge until I would trigger witch time.
Right.
And I would hit them. And then I'm pretty much avoiding them until I can trigger it again.
Right.
And I compare it to, like, you know, I think of Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, where the combat was relatively simple in that game, but they had the mechanic of you can slow down time and like, chop guys in half and stuff.
Oh.
And you wanted to, you know, time things so that you can get a bunch of guys in the air and then with one swipe, chop them all in half.
Well, that's pretty cool. That's and a platinum game too, right?
Right, that's a later platinum game. And that was a fun mechanic that got you a good score, improved your grade at the end of it, and it was something that you were thinking about the entire time you were in that combat because you were trying to set up that kind of like finishing move.
Yeah.
And this game, I think, lacked that kind of hook
in
its combat.
Yeah, I mean, the torture attacks kind of take you out of it.
Right, and like, they seem random to me. Like, yeah. I don't know if there was a way that you trigger them, but...
Well, you had to get those purple balls, and the purple balls you get from doing witch time, from dodging.
Right.
So you had to
build them up.
Yeah, and then you would get it.
It was also really frustrating to me with the torture attacks that in order to fill the bar, you had to pretty much predict that it was happening before it, like the quick time event started.
Oh, yeah.
Like if I wasn't immediately already, or not even immediately, like if I wasn't already mashing the button
you
before,
don't get it full.
You don't get the full meter. Right. I don't, that really rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, it was annoying.
Yeah.
What else do we got? So the real differences here between like Devil May Cry and Bayonetta is that you have the free camera and there's the witch time stuff, which was kind of the innovation for this game versus the other game. And I just think it's just, I haven't played any of the Devil May Cry games.
Yeah, I haven't either.
But I know that the like first couple were not like bombastic like they are now. And I think that Bayonetta probably helped to change that a little bit.
I want to say that like Devil May Cry wasn't that kind of, I mean, they were trying, at least the first one, they were trying to tweak like modernize like Resident Evil, right? And get into a more action-y sort of.
I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's made by the same people.
Yeah.
So
I think they have a witch time sort of mechanic in Nier.
Okay.
Automata where you dodge and it kind of slows down.
Well, that's from.
But in that, at least there's like the bullet hell sort of enemy projectiles that you're constantly dodging.
Yeah.
You can go into hacking. Like there's more depth to that combat that makes me feel there's more mechanical depth. There are more things you can do.
Yeah, well, I would say
besides attack.
I would say that the way they frame the combat in Nier Automata makes for more options. It's not just you versus one guy. Sometimes it's like bullet hell stuff. Sometimes it's like
it's varied enough,
right? So it's a little bit different. There's also the fact that in Nier Automata you can literally hold the button and just shoot the bad guys the entire time. And while you can do that in this game, the bullets don't do anything. They like do nothing.
I think the purpose of the bullets that I was using towards the end is really to just keep your combo going.
Yeah. But beyond this, so this game spawned two sequels, with one is to come out soon. It's supposed to come out, and maybe it will come out this year. We don't really know. The second one came out, I think, in 2016 or 2015.
And it was just for the Wii U?
Just for the Wii U, because Nintendo paid for it.
Right.
So they paid to make it happen.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah. Kamiya went on to make The Wonderful 101. Have you ever heard of that show? That game?
Isn't that that's a No More Heroes universe game, right?
No, so it's weird. It's a Wii U exclusive game. And it's kind of like Pikmin-y, but you have like superheroes that you throw at people.
I thought I knew what this game was. I have no idea what this is.
I have not played it, and I kind of want to play it. But and they made Kamiya also made Bayonetta 2 and Astral Chain last year.
Right. Even Astral Chain, I didn't finish, and I didn't like for other reasons. But the combat in that,
you like
playing
better?
Playing the combat in Astral Chain, and then having and I acknowledge.
Bayonetta I would hope so. Earlier, yeah, it's 10 years ago.
It just didn't. It seemed too simple and just not refined enough in Bayonetta.
We mentioned Nier Automata. They also made Platinum Games made Metal Gear Rising. They made Star Fox Zero, which was a terrible, one of the worst Wii U games. Come at me, people, if you think that otherwise, because that game is awful, and I love Star Fox. So they also made a anime. Did you know that there's a Bayonetta anime?
No.
Bayonetta Bloody Fate was released in 2013.
Released on what?
It's a movie.
Oh, it's a movie.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't think I'll watch that.
So for me in this game, Bayonetta 2 introduced me to what hack and slash games were because I never played one before that. So this game, for me at least.
I mean these modern ones.
Yeah, least, right, yeah. Right.
Had you played, because God of War is kind of hack and slashy. Had you played that
before
Bayonetta 2?
No. So I would compare this to God of War.
I think so.
The one thing I'll say that I appreciate about Bayonetta versus God of War is that the enemies were less bullet spongy. And even though these enemies in Bayonetta felt very bullet spongy, God of War was like ridiculously, you had to land so many hits on them.
Yeah. I think there was some of that was intentional to get you to, you know, otherwise you're only getting one or two hits of your combo and they,
right.
They like it when you pop them up in the air and you
know. Right. So where does this go on our list now that we're talking about God of War and comparisons? For me, just I want to try this. Maybe we can. What I'll do. This is a new thing that I thought about.
Oh.
So I'm gonna throw out a 10 number span, and then I want you to throw out a 10 span.
Okay.
And we will take that average and we'll work in the between there. How about that?
Okay. You go first.
So for me, this game falls somewhere between 20 and 30. Where does it fall for you?
So 20 is Batman Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, and 30 is Ninja Gaiden.
And 30 is the original NES Ninja Gaiden. And I think that's, pretty obviously where it goes. Are we working in decades here, or do I... let's see. Where's God of War? God of War is 26. Do you think this game is better or worse than God of War?
I actually appreciate the story more in probably God of War. But there were some things that frustrated me so much in God of War that I liked this better. Like when you go down to like, I don't know if it's like hell in God of War, but those areas where you had to do platforming and like jumping around and stuff were so fucking frustrating, you know, to climb stuff up and you kept getting knocked back down. And then also how bullet spongy the bad guys were. I would put this game above God of War.
The platforming is what it is in God of War, but at least that had puzzles that were beyond the, you know, like push the lever and then assume cat form and run to the door in time before the door shuts and you have to do it again.
Yeah.
I think God of War's bosses were better.
I don't know about that.
You don't think so? Like no, Cerberus like, was cool.
Think about that last boss in that game. That was terrible.
Was pretty bad. Yeah. I guess you're right. And I actually don't dislike QTEs as much as other people. And I think the QTEs in Bayonetta are better than God of War 1.
Yeah. I think the torture attacks and the climax attacks are pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I also like the like when she uses her hair to like stomp or punch. I think those are pretty interesting compared to just fucking whipping people to death for 5 minutes in an arena.
My biggest beef with this game is like missed opportunity. I like the character. I like the world. I like what could be a story, but it's just not delivered in
right.
my opinion. So I would agree that it's better than God of War, which is 26.
Right.
But 25 is DuckTales.
Which is a great platformer.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I might put DuckTales even higher, but this is a collaborative list, so I'll recognize that DuckTales is currently at 25.
Hey, we're getting close to our second annual, which is going to be in May, which is where we're going to be re-ranking things again.
Yeah, I'll have to find out who I want to fight for.
Once a year, for audience listeners who may not have been around in May, we have a sit-down where we gather all of our co-hosts. Everybody nominates a game or two, and we then discuss where they should be ranked. Because times change. People change.
Times change. And opinions change. You see that, like, you know, other games kind of get slotted between others, and then
right.
You realize there's one that's way out of place.
Yeah.
I don't think this game is better than DuckTales.
I'm happy not putting it above DuckTales. I think that there's ample
DuckTales.
I think there's ample room for Bayonetta 2 to go higher, and I think putting Bayonetta right below DuckTales, a game that would go on to inspire like a ton of indie games and just is a great platformer in its own right. I think it's fine that it goes at our new 26.
And even if you keep looking, like 24 is Garou.
Yeah, I don't think it ever goes above
23 is Cuphead. You keep going, like, I think all those games are better than Bayonetta.
Yeah, they're more solidly put together. Well, we have a new number 26 then, pushing God of War to number 27, and behind DuckTales at number 25. Congratulations to Bayonetta, our new number 26 on the endless list.
26, here. 27, and 28 are all action games with Bayonetta, God of War, and Onimusha. I guess Onimusha is a little different, but that seems to be the zone for
character for action these, games.
Yeah, like third person.
Yeah, they're called that. So are they called character action games?
I think that's what like these platinum games are called.
I guess if you don't have a sword, then is it really a hack and slash game? A punch and uppercut.
There's a sword in Bayonetta, though.
Oh yeah.
In fact, I used the swords, I think, more than the guns.
I also probably did, yeah.
But I never understood how that system was working.
No.
You can get, like, a shotgun, you can get a pistol, and then, like, revolvers or something, and...
Yeah.
Different
melee But they didn't really do... Weapons. They didn't add damage
It was
or anything.
Never clear what they were doing.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. I did like how you could purchase new moves and stuff like that. That was good. You could transform into like a butterfly.
And it was clear that, you know, the list was so long of the things you could unlock and some of the prices were so high.
Yeah, they want you to play that game over and over again.
It's just I have no interest in doing that. So if I missed out on the real part of the game, oh well.
At us.
Yeah.
At It's So Bad Pod on Twitter. It's So Bad Pod at gmail.com. Send us your emails, suggestions, etc. Next week, we'll be adding another game, but we have a new number 26 in Bayonetta. And thank you, Matt, for joining me this week.
Can't wait for Bayonetta 2.
Can't wait for Bayonetta 2.